Hello and welcome to the Majlis, the podcast by Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, focusing on Central Asia. I am Mohammed Tahir, your host here in Washington, D.C. Kyrgyzstan's former president, Almazbek Atambayev, could lose his presidential immunity. At least this is what the majority of the parliamentarians appears to be pushing for. They say it is needed for the health of corruption investigation that are currently taking place. And this new development also follows the dismissal of former Prime Minister Isakov, the Atambayev loyalist, and corruption charges against many former top officials. So what does this new development tell us, and where is this escalation between the current and former presidents are headed next? To discuss this, I'm joined by Edilbay Salov, Bishkek-based political activist who is, in fact, predicted the immunity question a couple of weeks ago in this very podcast. Now, I'm already anxious about his prediction today. And Erika Marat is joining us from Washington, D.C., who is currently associate professor at the National Defense University. Erika is originally from Kyrgyzstan. And Bruce Panier, editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty Central Asia blog. Kishlok Owozi is joining us, as always, from Prague. Thank you, colleagues, for being with us today.
Thank you.
Very, good to be back.
Very nice to have you. So, Edil, let me ask this before you make another bold prediction. where does this discussion about stripping Atambayev's presidential immunity stands as we speak? I know there was a discussion and some sort of voting on this in the parliament a couple of days ago. So where are things at the way it stands today?
Well, yes, there was this vote, and we can see that it is actually one of the most heated debates at the moment in our press and in social media. But the real question, it's not like whether we should persecute him or not. It is actually how we should persecute him. And if it is at all possible, there is a minor group of people who still think that he should be punished for all the crimes that are being talked about. But actually, there is a fringe group that says, well, too bad, but we cannot persecute him. But you cannot see anybody who will argue that on the merits of his, that he was clean, or he was that he had good wishes. There is no visible or powerful group of people who are actually trying to promote that point of view. So we expect that at the moment that this committee in the parliament will sit on the matter and probably will come back to report sometime in June before the summer recess.
So we definitely talk about how to get it done. But before that, Edil, the voting in the parliament, what was that about?
The vote was on the issue that the committee be charged with coming up with the legal procedure of stripping away the immunity of former presidents. You know, we're discussing, of course, President Atambayev, but we discovered that we simply lack the legal procedure of stripping the ex-presidency of his immunity.
Okay. So in case of, this happens, we will definitely talk about the implications, Erika, a little bit later. But now, as Edil mentioned, they are talking about this stripping Atambayev's presidential immunity. Is it simple? What are the procedures to have it done?
It doesn't matter what are the procedures. What Jeenbekov is showing that he can invent procedures. He can create new precedents in the name of consolidating power. And this just shows a bigger trend in Kyrgyzstan that every single president that came to power, even including Roza Atambayeva, they came as a result of elections, of course, but more importantly, they came as a result of political consensus between elites. And the narrower the consensus was, the more presidents needed to grab power away from the elites who brought them to power, so that there is no competition at the very top. And Jeenbekov came as a result of a very narrow consensus between Atambayev and his loyalists. So what he's doing is he's moving, just like Atambayev did in the first couple of years, he's moving to grab more power. And that's actually very dangerous, because where does he stop? When do his actions become illegitimate and downright authoritarian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the implications question, right? Yeah, we will like to talk about that, definitely. But first, let me clear this question. Bruce, you would like to jump in here? Like, I mean, it's also, in the first place, a very bizarre situation that the MPs who are pushing to strip Atambayev from his presidential immunity also belong to the same party that headed by Atambayev. But okay, in case if they decided to go for this, what are the procedures? What has to happen that he is stripped out of his presidential immunity?
Well, as I understand it, this is written into the Constitution, right? I mean, the immunity, so that there has to be some involvement of different bodies outside the parliament. I think the parliament can initiate the move, but somewhere along the line, there's got to be some kind of guardian of the Constitution, some constitutional court that would have to rule whether this was in fact possible or not. You know, and let's face it, the Kyrgyz Constitution has taken a beating, you know, in the last you know, what, the end of 2016. It wasn't supposed to be touched at all, you know, so now, and then it was, and so now we have this, so we're going to have to have another move. And I know that, you know, Ishak Masaliyev, who is the force behind this, and he's not from Jeenbekov's party or Atambayev's party. He's Oynugu Progress, but he explained it as being something that would apply to all former presidents, you know, to kind of make it look like it wasn't Atambayev specifically that they were targeting, but that this was generally a bad idea because you didn't want presidents to come in and you know, commit some kind of huge crimes, rob the country blind, and then sit back and you know, sit behind their immunity and not be culpable for anything that they'd done. But it's not just as my understanding, anyways. It's not so simple as Parliament getting together and finally saying, you know, who's in favor of stripping, you know, removing this thing about immunity for the president, and who's against. That's really one step toward doing this. But Adil would probably know a little better than me.
Hmm. Adil.
You know, before I comment on the implications, I would like to actually...
No, Bruce had a question to you, so about the procedures.
Say to Erica, okay, absolutely, you know, that's what we are talking about and discussing, and there are legal minds that basically is thinking, but we need to not to forget that in the world context, the immunity of ex-president of the Kyrgyz Republic is absolutely unmatched and unprecedented, except for our neighboring Kazakhstan. This law is morally obsolete because it dates from the year 2003, when we were preparing for the ex-presidency of then-president Askar Akayev. And obviously, it doesn't have anything to do with our current constitution of 2010. So the procedure is to really prescribe for how we can strip away the status of the ex-president. Another thing I would like to draw to your attention to, that we undid the ex-presidential status of both Askar Akayev and Kurmanbek Bakiyev in 2010, but it was done by the decrees of the interim government. It was way easier than now, so we need just to find the analog procedure for those decrees of 2010. And then, of course, Kurmanbek Bakiyev, our former president, was charged with crimes and persecuted, I think, at least five different trials for various crimes. And none of them actually concerned the mass shooting of April 7, 2010. He was charged with crimes starting with abuse of office, with cover-up of murder, with participation of some land deals. And now I would like to say, just for the fact, that during Atambayev presidency, ex-president Kurmanbek Bakiyev was tried in court several times, and in absentia he was first given 10 years and 24 years, and at the last trial that ended just this fall, actually gave him lifetime imprisonment. So if President Atambayev wanted to enjoy this absolute immunity, why didn't he stand up for ex-president Kurmanbek Bakiyev? So if I were Jeenbekov, I would actually not persecute. And we don't know actually what will be his position. He has all powers actually to stop it. You know, he has done enough to terrify Atambayev and to marginalize him and to weaken him and beg for pardon and mercy. He's done enough. Jeenbekov's control over, you know, the realm is very powerful. He doesn't need to imprison actually Atambayev. And actually, I'm one of the people who doesn't want actually Atambayev in prison.
Then why he's not stopping it, Edil? Why he's not speaking? Why he's not stepping up and rejecting this possibility?
Because that's the popular opinion. That's the public. That's the parliament. That's people like me. That's the newspapers. That's the political parties and politicians. It is a free society at the moment. And Jeenbekov understands that he will be deeply unpopular. He will delegitimize himself if he stands up now for Atambayev.
Okay. Do you buy this, Erika, this theory?
No, I don't buy this. Because, no, we can't say that public opinion is for imprisoning Atambayev. That's just not true. There was public opinion for imprisoning Bakiev, maybe, because he shot so many people. There was public opinion for retribution for Akai, but not really for Atambayev. I think it's really problematic comparing Atambayev to Bakiev, because we can jail Bakiev or Akai in absentia for whatever we want, whatever charges we want. But because we have other political prisoners like Tikhibayev, like Askarov, we can't talk about objective and fair judicial process for huge political figures like Atambayev. And in the past, under Atambayev's watch, we also saw how the judicial system, the political leaders, possibly, allegedly, received bribes from Maxim Bakiev in order to drop their charges and international efforts to extradite him to Kyrgyzstan. Unless we're talking about personal vendetta against political leaders, we can't talk at all about objective process of coming up with a procedure and jailing a former president. It is going to be very biased and, by just definition, very much politicized.
Mm. Okay, Bruce, have you heard what Atambayev is saying about all this?
You're not saying much at all lately. You know, I mean, the last thing that I heard any comment from him was that he figured he was going to let those journalists off the hook and Chinara Jakubova off the hook for, you know, what they were charged with, the slander, insulting the honor and dignity of him. But at least the financial compensation, he was willing to say, no, I changed my mind. And actually, I believe he said that the situation in the media had changed so much in the last year that it was now a good moment to drop those penalties against Narin, who we know, of course, and Chinara Jakubova, which was kind of laughable because, of course, that was the day after the deputies in parliament took up this idea of stripping him of his immunity. That was the last thing I heard of him. And I would agree with anyone that would be willing to say that this was really meant, the whole thing about stripping him of his immunity and possibly putting him in prison was at least partly motivated by a desire to just get him to be quiet for a while and not do any damage. You know, he's been a disaster for more than a year every time he showed up in public almost. So, but there is a point that I wanted to raise. And if this was just about Atambayev, then it would be a lot possibly easier to understand. But we have a number of officials now who are being named. This all starts from the thermal power plant and what happened to the money. And practically every prime minister under Atambayev, except Jeenbekov, of course, has been mentioned as someone who might have a role in this, you know, and other officials too. I mean, Kubanichbek Kumatov is out and probably facing charges. I don't know if they actually formally charged him or anything like that. But, and the amounts they're talking about are, you know, low millions or something. So out of $386 million, it seems kind of laughable. Now, I suppose you could look at this as they're chipping away and trying to gradually work their way up to Atambayev. But when you look at this from the outside, it starts to look like a purge of former Atambayev officials, you know, excluding Jeenbekov, of course. And that does kind of concern me. Isakov, for all his whatever he's done that's good or bad or anything like that, I don't say that he's linked to this. I can't say that he's linked to this because he wasn't prime minister. He was prime minister at the very end. But yet his name pops up, too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's what kind of concerns me is I'm like, look, where is this going to end exactly? I mean, we have all these names out there all of a sudden. And their only connection is that they were all former Atambayev officials.
Mm. Edil, where will this end? What's the ultimate goal that Jeenbekov wants to achieve by this?
You know, first of all, I would like to disagree with the point of view that somehow we are actually just this is not about justice, or this is not about, this is just a short-term vendetta and scoring some old what do we score, Bruce?
No, I was just trying to say that, yeah, there's a lot, all these names that come up in connection with the thermal power plant are former Atambayev officials. Now, I do know why are all these people in there? Are they because they gradually working their way up to Atambayev, or they're genuinely involved in this? Because I think, like I said, almost every prime minister under Atambayev has been mentioned as someone who might have some connection to the missing money from the thermal power plant, you know, and in the case of Isakov, that while he might have done something wrong, I can't fault him for the money that's missing from the power plant, because he was only prime minister the last few months that Atambayev was in.
Yes.
And he shouldn't have ever had a kind of access to get to that. But yet, when they start naming all these names of who might have taken the money or who was involved, you know, hinting that maybe Atambayev is the ultimate one who took this money, then his name comes up too. But, you know, I mean, Satibaldiev is another one that's come up. Komatov seems, admittedly, he was the mayor of Bishkek. He wasn't a prime minister. But, you know, his name is, you know, I mean, he lost his job as head of the customs service. And I don't know if they formally charged him with something. I know that he's detained, right? Last I heard. So, you know, and that's the part that kind of worries me, is that it starts to look like a purge of former Atambayev officials all of a sudden. If they want Atambayev, that's one thing. But now we have all these people that are involved in this that are, you know, it seems kind of vendetta, that kind of thing, where we're trying to get rid of all the people who were hanging around Atambayev and make sure that they don't cause any trouble for the people who are in now. I don't know.
Actually, it's one of the things that I would like to strongly disagree with, is that this is, you know, to picture this as a very short-minded vendetta or scoring political goals and or just, you know, this type of things. Let us not forget how Almazbek Atambayev came to power in the first place. He came at the price of at least 70 young men just spilling their blood on the central square of Bishkek, you know, to save our country from bandit regime of the family of Bakiyevs and install Almazbek Atambayev.
Edil, you know, these are the background, very useful information, but coming to today, that these things has nothing to do with what's happening today, right?
Well, and there's also the point that Rosa Otunbayeva was in for a while. Atambayev didn't take over right after Bakiyev got thrown out.
Rosa Otunbayeva was just a seat warmer for Almazbek Atambayev. I left precisely because Rosa Otunbayeva did not choose to become an independent political actor, or, you know, to install her own footprint, or, you know, her governance. She simply did not stand up to Almazbek Atambayev. That's why I chose to leave in May 2010. But again, this is not about scoring short-term goals.
Okay.
And we are not in the rush. We are not in the rush of bringing Atambayev to justice. One of the things he did, that he stripped, for example, in our criminal code, the statute of limitations for crimes of corruption. You know, these statutes, the articles are not going to expire, you know, forever. So if not this regime, the next one, or the next after him, is probably going to bring Atambayev, and I wish him long, many years, but he will stand immunity, and we are not in the rush. And of course, one of the very important things that we need to decide now, and it's not only about Atambayev, it's also about Jeenbekov, and it's also about future presidents. You know, we need to undo the immunity, the absolute immunity. Again, I'm telling you that this immunity is worded in such a way that Almazbek Atambayev can today take his pistol and kill one person or 10 persons, and he is not going to be persecuted, because that's what the law says, that the president, the ex-president, enjoys absolute immunity for any crime whatsoever that was committed during his presidency and after. Okay. We need to do something about it.
Okay.
And to respond to Bruce about the Atambayev conspirators that, you know, that looks like a purge, and that's what they term themselves. Without any shame, Atambayev's chief persecutor, former chief persecutor Indira Joldubayeva, or his chief of KGB, Abdil Segizbayev, his right-hand Sapar Isakov, they, with any trace of shame, they are talking about political purges. Whereas, again, I have to remind you that never even in Askar Akayev times or Kurmanbek Bakiyev times, that we had dozens and dozens of politicians imprisoned on bogus charges and tried in closed courts, as under Atambayev period, which ended just a few weeks ago. So it's not about political purges. And Bruce, about our friend Sapar Isakov, who now claims that he was just a clerk in the presidential administration. As we saw in the affair of Liglas, the Czech glass company that was brought in to construct hydroelectric dams, as we saw from the correspondence in that affair, and as we saw very clearly with the correspondence with the Chinese authorities and Chinese companies, Sapar Isakov played a key role as a presidential aide. Everything passed through his hands. All the business, our international relations, everything was done through him. And that's the main crime that is being put against the President Atambayev presidency by the current parliament. We are now not so much interested is in punishing Atambayev. We actually want to establish the games for this presidency. We are claiming that President Atambayev lacked any powers to make decisions in that spheres, as you know, as his aide was writing or President Atambayev was ruling on matters. We are a parliamentary republic.
Let me jump in here. I wanted to take a short break, but, you know, when some of these alleged crimes that you are mentioning taking place, also don't forget that Jean Bekov was in the key post of prime minister. So let's see where it goes. But thank you very much for your thoughts. And we will see what is the next in the saga and what is Jean Bekov's ultimate objectives and what is the possible implications. Let's talk about implications in case if Atambayev stripped out of his immunity. We will continue Majlis talking about these and many other questions shortly. First, let me recap the debate that today on the Majlis, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Central Asia podcast, we are discussing the latest development in the ongoing tension between the current and the former presidents of Kyrgyzstan. Joining me in the discussion are Edilbay Salov, Bishkek-based political activist who has previously served as a former president Roza Otunbayeva's chief of staff, Erika Marat, associate professor at the National Defense University in Washington, D.C. is joining us, and Bruce Fanier, editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Central Asia blog, Kishlok is also with us from Prague today. I am Mohammed Tahir, host of the Majlis here in Washington, D.C. Welcome back. So without a delay, I just wanted to get into this question about the implications in case if the parliament decided to strip Atambayev out of his presidential immunity. What is the implication you see, Bruce, in short and long term?
Well, Jane Becker better hope that he's so clean that they can't pin anything on him at all. You know, I mean, it's an unfortunate fact of not just politics in Kyrgyzstan, but generally politics in Central Asia in general, that not too many people get up there who are what we would consider to be clean figures. You know, there's something there that if it was revealed, you would probably say, yes, that is against that. That's either illegal or immoral or unethical or something. You know, when we had the discussed Atambayev a while ago, I said I would rather not see him in prison because I thought that it would be a bad precedent and it would be something that might make Jeenbekov think of some way of extending his term if indeed he has something in his past that he's afraid would be revealed and he himself could fall victim to this. You know, we've seen so many presidents, and not just in Central Asia, but in other places, find ways to get around the constitutional term limits for their presidencies and stay on. You know, I mean, look in any direction from where Kyrgyzstan is, and they've all done it. You know, after Xi Jinping just did the same thing. But Rahman's been in forever. Nazarbayev's been in forever. Karimov was in for, you know, 25 years, and there's no reason to believe that Mirziyoyev is going to step down after two terms in office either. And I would really like to see that end. But if there is a president, and maybe it's not Jeenbekov, maybe it's the next one. Adil mentioned Bakiyev has been put on trial. Members of Akayev was put on trial in absentia. Roza Otunbayev is the only president of Kyrgyzstan, well, Atambayev for the moment, who hasn't had charges come up against them. So you're going to start this thing out, then I'm just afraid that the country would find itself in a position where there would be somebody who would be by some means able to say, look, 6 years is not enough. I don't want to leave power, office, whatever. I'm not going. And of course, that would ruin what momentum we have toward a parliamentary system of government in Kyrgyzstan.
Bruce, let me counter you a little bit on this. You know, it's Central Asia. Presidents do take steps which need some sort of accountability. So what should the accountability look like for former presidents? And if it's not stripping them out of his presidential immunity, then what that should be?
Well, you know, actually, that's coming at it from the wrong end. I would say the first thing is that when you're coming in, when you're going to run for president, you should be much more open to not necessarily investigation, but I mean, you're going to have to come clean with a lot of stuff, really clean. You know, what finances do you have? What property do you own? Which countries is this property or money in? You know, things like that. So that, you know, in democratic systems, if anyone's going to run for political office, you have to open yourself up to the press and other people to investigate and see what your character is. You know, we've not had any of that really in Central Asia. You know, in Kyrgyzstan's case, of course, you know, we had two power changes that came as a result of revolutions, you know. So, and even when Jeenbekov came in, he was kind of, you know, personally, I don't know a lot about Jeenbekov. You know, he came, I know he was the governor of Osh. I know he was served down in the south. He's been he's been in politics for a long, long time, but you don't hear much about him. But, you know, again, under the theory that any politician in Kyrgyzstan has some connections they'd rather not admit to somewhere along the line, you know, you have to be afraid that when you're coming to the end of your term that some of these are going to get out. So it's more a question of vetting people from the start as opposed to, you know, waiting until they're out of office and then saying, okay, well, now let's throw open the books and see what we got here and throw them in jail.
Okay. Erika, the implications in case the parliament or any commission established by the parliament goes in the direction of stripping Atambayev of his presidential immunity, what the implication of that would look like? And also, if the stripping presidential immunity of Atambayev shouldn't be the outcome, then what the method should look like to put the former presidents accountable for the actions that they might have taken during their term in office?
It is important to, on the one hand, to keep leaders more accountable, especially that a lot of them that rise to the top will have shady background. And at the same time, it is important to come up with robust procedures that would not be tailored to specific individuals, but would apply across the board. And for these procedures to emerge, there needs to be a special parliamentary committee jointly with civil society groups or government agencies that would present themselves as impartial and generate new legal procedures in the name of accountability for future, current and future leaders. And this also has to be done alongside robust judicial sector reform, so that overall the judicial system is seen, is made more impartial and fair, not only to political leaders in power, but to their opponents, to those who are already imprisoned. So it has to be done jointly. We can't just come up with procedures and get rid of existing regulations just because of specific individuals. There has to be a bigger principle in mind going forward.
Okay, Edil, last point, I'm coming to you. So you said, Edil, if I understood you correctly, that you are against putting Atambayev in jail or something in this line. So what should the accountability look like from your point of view involving the former presidents?
First of all, what is important for us and at the moment, if we are to live under the current constitution, under the pretense of parliamentary republic, that we need to define more clearly what the president can and cannot do. Because we had President Atambayev, who, you know, said that he respects parliamentary republic and he actually stands for parliamentary republic, but he actually acted as a super president. He never consulted on many key decisions. He usurped powers beyond any legitimacy.
Like his predecessor did, Adil. Like his predecessor did. Like Akayev did.
But back then, at least formally, we lived under different constitutions. You know, back then, we lived under, you know, super presidential republics. But Atambayev basically did many things. And, you know, outright, you know, in-your-face criminal things. He would summon chief persecutor and publicize how he's ordering people jailed or investigated. Or he would, in his interviews, state that he could have actually not allowed that arrest, or he should have, he could have closed an eye on this. You know, how can we deal with that if President Atambayev acted as if he was a monarch, as a medieval padishah, you know?
Okay.
That's why we have to fix that for the future. It's not important about settling scores, you know, with the past. Mm-hmm. We want to define our future. This debate is very important for us, for our future. But of course, at the moment, you know, immediate goal, and the goal is shared by both Jeenbekov and by the people like me and others. We don't want active Atambayev. We want to weaken him. We want to marginalize him. We want to destroy him quite openly.
That become,
you know,
a personal,
any political ambitions.
Yeah, Adil, then, like we were talking about in the past, like this become kind of personal issue, personal vendetta, kind of.
But look, you know, this was his choice to come back to active politics. He chose to become chairman again of the Social Democratic Party.
Okay, so is there any law preventing him from choosing an active political life?
But why then he should continue to enjoy the immunity of the ex-president? Why then we should provide him with the security personnel? Why should we provide him with, you know, $5,000 pension, the highest paid pension in the country? Why should we treat him as a national leader if he chooses to become a political one?
So is there any law which says that in case a former president remains active in politics, all these services that were given to them should be stripped? Is there any law saying that?
Yes, we are a very young republic. We are a very young republic, and, you know, we are learning. We are a democracy. We had many traumas on our way, but we are learning our lessons. And I think we should, you know, I just can vouch that this is a very live politics. No one is pulling cords behind me and telling me what to say and how to attack. Mm-hmm. I am a free politician. And free actors, the political parties and parliament and newspapers and you know, all the Facebook users, we are all free discussing all this freely. How to deal with all the issues that you are talking about.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, we have to also conclude this discussion. Just a final word briefly. Please, maybe let's take Erika. I know you want to leave. So what is next in this battle as you see it?
Unfortunately, I think that the next issue for us is to be really focused on how Jeenbekov is acting as a president and how he is trying to re-centralize power in his own hands and solidify his leadership and nation system to meet his political goals. So this is the main concern for me. I'm not that much concerned about retribution of Atambayev, prosecution of Atambayev. I'm more concerned about how does Jeenbekov perform as a leader? Does he try to consolidate power, or does he have a bigger vision for the country and takes advice from parliamentarians and tries to establish better procedures for competitive elections, for political debate, and effective institutions in the government?
Mm-hmm. Okay, Bruce, the same question to you. What you are looking at going forward?
Well, I mean, obviously the same thing Erica just mentioned. We'll see how he goes about this. And, you know, he's certainly rid himself of many of the Atambayev officials that he inherited when he became president. I think, you know, I agree with the idea of getting rid of immunity. I think they should get rid of it even for serving presidents. They should just get rid of it. And parliamentarians, too. It would help to keep people clean. But, of course, that requires a real strongly independent judiciary. But, you know, I really don't see the point in this, because it does kind of give give you a carte blanche to do what you want and just say you can't investigate me for that. So if they really want to do this, and they should, go all the way. Just go all the way. If Jan Bekov's that clean that he feels confident he can do a 6-year term and leave and he won't have any problems, then just get rid of it entirely and work on getting a parliamentary democracy in place and a strong independent judiciary. But if he just starts putting his own people in, then he starts to look like Atambayev.
Yeah, okay. The last point from your side, maybe it's time for another bold prediction, but I don't know. So what you are looking at going forward?
You know, I'm not naive, and I certainly hear what Erica and Bruce and some of our friends like John Hedershaw are discussing and the concerns that they are putting forward. But at the moment, I can just tell you once again that this is Kyrgyzstan and our society dealing for the first time with the president who stepped down and chose to stay inside the country. But at the same time, we discovered that we didn't discover, obviously. I've been one of the most vocal critics of his. But the whole country is shocked at the scale of the graft that took place in his term.
Okay.
And what to do? Do we just forgive and just let him go? I would have. That was my instinct all the past year, when I was actually pleading with him just to step down and that we would raise monuments for him. But actually, that was his choice to be active in politics.
Okay.
He's investing millions of dollars into his April TV station. He's threatening instability. Okay. He's the main source of instability at the moment. And what to do with that?
Edel, we understand going forward, like briefly, please, if you can, because we are out of time. So what you are looking at briefly, please, going forward in this battle?
There is no rush that we should most certainly just lock him up. This is not. Already some of the politics have changed tremendously just by raising the specter of imprisonment, which is very real at the moment. This is cleansing effect on the whole society. And we hope, of course, people like me, we hope that this will keep sober our current president, that there is time and these changes will take place.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. I think this is the point we should end the discussion. Positive note from Edel Baysalov, Bishkek-based political activist. Also, big thanks goes to Erica Marat, associate professor at the National Defense University in Washington, and Bruce Panier, editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's Central Asia blog called Kishlok Awazi. Thank you, colleagues, for joining us today.
Thank you.
It was very nice to have you. And this is from me, Mohammed Tahir, host of the Majlis, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Central Asia podcast. Until next week, bye-bye.